Answer to prayer. You know, there's nothing like praying for something, and bam, the Lord delivers for you. I mean, how many of you have done that? I know most of you have, yeah. And it builds your faith. It makes you know that God is real. There's power in prayer. We feel very close to Father when He hears and answers our prayers. We feel that Holy Spirit touching our heart. We should always pray for things in God's will. When we don't receive something that we prayed for in God's will, we should accept Father's will. You know, He knows a lot more than we do. He knows that what we ask for might harm us in some way in the future. So when we ask for something and we don't get it, I remember Pastor Arnold Murray saying he has a three-time rule. And you know that scripture in Matthew chapter 6 that says don't pray in vain repetitions? That doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask for something more than one time. As I started to say, Pastor Arnold Murray used to always say he has a three-time rule. You present it to you petition the Father, and if you don't get a response, no problem asking a second time. But if you ask a third time and He still says no or doesn't answer, it's kind of like a fly, you know, trying to fly through the glass of a window. You don't sit there and beat your head against the glass over and over and over. Accept Father's will and go on about your business serving Him. In the time of Moses, God dwelt among men. It was pretty easy for the folks to feel how near He was when they could look out and see the tabernacle, the tent of Moses there, which was the dwelling place of God when He dwelt with man on earth. The nation of Israel could also inquire of the Lord through the Urim and Thummim of the priests. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, as we ask that word of wisdom in Yeshua's precious name. Father, we ask You to open eyes, open ears this day. Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, the law, verse 1, and it reads, "Now therefore hearken," in the Hebrew this word hearken is shama. It means to hear intelligently. "O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them." James chapter 1, verse 22. It's important that we not just be a hearer of the word, but we be a doer of the word. If you're just a hearer of the word and you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself, as it states there in James chapter 1. "That ye may live and go in to possess the land, the promised land, which the Lord God your fathers giveth you." Conditions: hear with understanding and do the commandments. You know, there's a promised land in our future. It's called the kingdom of God. And you know, the conditions for entering into that are the same as what it was to enter the promised land for the nation of Israel: to hear intelligently and to do His commandments. You're going to be in good shape when it comes to getting into the kingdom of God if you're able to do those things. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you." God, through John in Revelation 22, verses 18 and through 19, warns us of the grave consequences of doing this. And, you know, people have tried to tell Pastor Arnold and myself that what you're doing, you're changing the Word of God when we pull out the real meaning. I got news for them. The Bible wasn't written, excuse me, in English. And when you read Luke chapter 14, verse 26 in the King James Version Bible, Jesus says there, you have to hate your mother and father to follow me. Wait a minute. That's completely contrary to what Moses taught us, was to honor our mother and father. But if you take your concordance, and that's important, the reason it's so important for everyone to have a Strong's concordance, you take that word hate back to the Greek, and it means love less. Now, I can live with Jesus saying, you have to love your parents less than me if you're going to be my disciple. But to say hate your parents is contrary to the law. The law never contradicts itself. God's word never contradicts itself. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. Baal Peor was the god of the Moabites. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 3. What happened there was the children of Moab seduced the children of Israel into worshiping and partaking of the sacrifice to Baal Peor, their god. God was so angry, there were 24,000 that died of Israel. And Moses was instructed to take the heads of those who worship Baal Peor and put them on a post to where everyone else would see what happens to those who worship false gods. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Religiously, the only thing worth cleaving to is your heavenly Father, not some stick or some rock or some fake god. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Again, be a hearer and a doer of the word. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Nations, you could translate the heathen, the Gentiles, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The Queen of Sheba even came and visited Solomon, and she was impressed with the wisdom of the people of Israel. Through Christianity today, many around the world are converted. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, dwelling among them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Everything that they asked, he was there. This means that what nation has a God that's so near and so ready to hear and help? He's near and ready to help you too in times of trouble. There's power in prayer, beloved. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? God is righteous. His statutes, his judgments, his law are righteous. And anyone who thinks that his law is wrong, they probably got problems. It's man who is bad, not the law. Fortunately, he knew we couldn't cut it. He knew that we couldn't live under the law. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Only take heed to thyself. This word in the Hebrew is shamar. It means to hedge about, to guard thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart or mind all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Bring your children up close to the Lord, and they'll do all right in life. They'll never leave. They might get off track a little bit. I know I did when I was 18, 19, 20. I thought I knew it all. I didn't. I learned when I was 21, 22, 23. Fortunately, you know why? Because what Arnold had taught David and I, my little brother, stuck with me. I realized I was doing wrong, and I wanted to change. I repented, and that's what we all should do. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. Horeb is synonymous with Mount Sinai. It's the range of mountains that Sinai is a part of. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear or revere me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You know, that's what God wants us to do. Is He said, you know, your children are going to see you when you practice the Passover. And they're going to ask you, why do we do these things? What's the deal with this lamb? Of course, our lamb today is Jesus Christ. But when your children ask you, explain to them why we do these things. That God delivered your fathers, your ancestors, from bondage to the Egyptians. And the death angel passed over you. Explain it to your children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, Sinai. And the mountain burned with fire. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. In the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. They saw the manifestation of God in the fire. He went before them as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. No human can see God Himself. Why? He's in a different dimension. You have to be dead to see God, unless He wants you to see Him, in which case He has in the past made it to where man can see him. Jacob, for example, when he wrestled him. And Jacob was afraid he was dead because he saw God. And he declared unto you his covenant, his contract, his promises, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. The first set of 2 tables, God did write it Himself. You remember, though, Moses was so angry with the children of Israel when he came down off of Sinai and he saw them worshiping a golden calf, Aaron leading them. He threw the tablets down and broke them. There was a second set of tablets. God didn't write them. Moses himself wrote it, the Word of God, the 10 Commandments. And the Lord commanded me, Moses, at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, and that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. It's important to understand that there's a difference between law, statutes, and ordinances. Colossians chapter 2, we learn there that many of the ordinances were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. The blood ordinances. Do you think God would like it now if you took a calf and executed it for the blood? No. He gave something more precious. He gave the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So that ordinance, the blood ordinance, was nailed to the cross with Christ. If you forsake God, He will not hear your prayers. He will hide His face from you. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 31, the same book. Back a little further to Deuteronomy 31. We're going to pick it up with verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. called Joshua, Yeshua in the Hebrew, a type even for Jesus Christ. And present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I might give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Moses was forbidden to enter the promised land. God instructed Moses to speak to the rock at Meribah, and water would come out of it. And that would sanctify God. You can read about this in Numbers chapter 20. But what did Moses do? He struck the rock twice. And he said, "Hear me, you rebels. Must we," referring to himself and Aaron, "bring water forth out of this rock?" I guess Aaron probably meant God in that too. But you know what? Moses would have had a heck of a time bringing water forth out of that rock without God being there. I know for a fact. But because of what he did, he failed to follow God's instructions. And in that, I think we see a very important lesson for God's elect. When the Holy Spirit says, speak, speak. If the Holy Spirit doesn't say speak, don't speak. To do so would be possibly committing the unforgivable sin. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, remember Joshua is there as well, "Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." You're going to die, Moses. "And this people, Israel, will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land." Strong words, yes. My words, no. That's God's word, whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. And when you're unfaithful to him, that's just the way he feels about it, that you're whoring after them. There's going to be a lot of people whore after the Antichrist. "Whither they go to be among them and will forsake me," God speaking, "and break my covenant which I have made with them." Today the covenant is broken by many. On the Passover, what should be the highest Sabbath of the year, what are they doing? They're out with the Gentiles, rolling Easter eggs in the groves. Sad but true. "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them." No blessing, no protection, no favor, no answered prayers. "And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them." Look around today. Watch the evening news. Many evils and troubles have befallen us. "So that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?" And when we realize that, maybe we'll be smart enough, intelligent enough to repent, ask for forgiveness, get a clean slate, get back on the right track. Make it to where he hears your prayers. "And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods." Apostasy. The traditions of men come to mind as well. See, the Lord knew the future would bring apostasy. How? 1/3 of his children followed Satan at the catapult. He knew 1/3. And you know what? There's going to be a whole lot more than 1/3 that worship the Antichrist. It reads in Revelation 13, the whole world will worship Antichrist except those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now therefore, excuse me. Verse 19. "Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. You know what that song is? I know you do. It's the song of Moses, which you find in the following chapter, chapter 32. Why on earth will the overcomers, those who don't worship the Antichrist, be singing the song of Moses when they have overcome the Antichrist? Just told us in this verse, as a witness for God against the children of Israel, those who have worshiped the Antichrist. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, a good land, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat. That means they become fat or satisfied. Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. In the song of Moses, these are those that do this are called Jeshurun. Chapter 32, verse 15. They forsook God and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. That's Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles have befallen them, that this song, the song of Moses, shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. We haven't forgotten. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, Jeshurun today, before I have brought them into the land, which I swear, still looking for new religions, making up religions on their own, lightly esteeming the rock of his salvation. Verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he, God, gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Why did God choose Joshua to lead Israel into the promised land? Well, because he and Caleb were the only one of the 13 spies who went into the land to check it out, who didn't come back saying, we can't go there. There's giants over there. Caleb said, that land is ours. God gave it to us. Let's go. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, Torah, the Pentateuch, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Blessings or curses is the witness. I'm speaking of Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. Did you not know that God can curse? Well, you're not familiar with Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 if you think God won't curse you. But he also blesses. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck, stubbornness. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been a rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. And what gets me is these people saw the miracles. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw water coming out of the rock. They saw a quail that God fed them when they complained about the manna. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words, the song of Moses, in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them, to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. That's today, beloved. Because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. At the dedication of the temple, Solomon asked God to hear and answer our prayers. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 as we continue our study. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to pick it up with verse 8. And it reads, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. This is Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles. And all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath into the river of Egypt. This means all of them from north to south. And in the 8th day, you can read about this in Leviticus 23:36. This was not part of the 8th day was not part of the Feast of Tabernacles, but it was a Sabbath. It closed the cycle of Sabbaths on the annual Sabbaths and the feasts. And on the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. The Feast of Tabernacles was the and the month of Tishri would have ended on the 21st of Tishri. This 8th Sabbath was the 22nd of Tishri. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away unto their tents, their homes, glad and merry in heart, how we feel after we have celebrated the Passover, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. It took 7 years, 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 11. And the king's house, his own house, took some 13 years. And all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. The Lord blessed him. And the Lord appeared to Solomon, by night. And this would be the second time that God appeared to Solomon by night. The first was in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, in a dream, in other words. I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. This would be some 13 years after the dedication of the temple. The acceptance was, first acceptance by God was the fire that came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifices at the dedication of the tabernacle, the temple. The Lord continues, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, spiritually we have the former rain and the latter rain, or if I command that the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, again, curses resulting from their sin. If you think God won't curse, again, you're not familiar with Leviticus 26 or Deuteronomy 28. If, there's a condition, a little big word, two letters, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, repent, in other words, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do you want to know how to have God hear your prayers? Just told us right there. If you're not doing things His way, repent. That's the beauty of Christianity. Get back on the right track with your Father. Then He will hear and He will answer, He will bless. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place, referring to the temple. Do we pray toward the temple today? No, God's not in the temple anymore. God's in heaven, and that's where we direct our prayer. You know, that's the reason Daniel, when they were in captivity to the Babylonians, remember, he would open the window and pray toward Jerusalem, where the temple was, because that's where God was. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, the temple, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually, forever. And as for thee, Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. Was David perfect? No. David messed up, and David messed up pretty seriously. Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba come to mind. But one thing you can say about David is that he never, ever worshiped anyone other than Yahweh. And all the future kings of Judah, some of the kings of Israel after the split of the nation, were compared to David as far as their faithfulness to God. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. David thought he would build God a house. That didn't turn out so well. God said, no, I'm going to build you a house, referring to his family, his seed line. Through the root of Jesse would come Messiah. Was Solomon able to do according to God's commandments? No, he kind of fell short in that. 300 wives and 600 concubines. Many of them were foreign. They led him to worship the gods of other nations, the heathen nations. That was the reason the nation split eventually. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land. All land belongs to God. He might let you have it for a little bit to take care of it, but God owns everything, which I have given them, and this house, the temple, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight. A church won't save you. The temple won't save you. And will make it to be a proverb. That's a reproach with taunting words. And a byword. That's a joke among all nations. They can walk by and look at the temple on a hill and see, oh my, look, the Lord is blessing Israel. Or they might walk by, if the children of Israel aren't doing things God's way, and make a proverb, a joke out of it. And this house, temple, which is high, shall be an astonishment. That's to stun or make amazement to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And we're not talking about less serious offenses here. We're talking about worshiping other gods. And you know, a lot of people are going to fall into that category when they have worshiped the Antichrist. Jesus taught the disciples and us how to pray so that our prayers would be heard and answered in the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our study on answer to prayer. Matthew chapter 6, let's pick it up with verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. We did a message recently on hypocrites, stage actors. They're playing church, making up their own religion. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the churches, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, they're not going to receive anything from me, Jesus the Lord speaking. You see it on TV if you turn your TV on Sunday mornings. Oh, they like to get up and pray in the church and look religious. They have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, a private place, in other words. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, in private. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He will answer your prayers. What this is saying is, and there's nothing wrong with praying in church. We prayed at the beginning of this message. But I'm talking about those who make a long face and cry to be seen on the corners. You've seen them on the corners. The world's coming to an end. They're nuts. They're crazy. Don't listen to them. But their reward is what they're doing now. They're not going to receive anything from our Heavenly Father. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. That means to talk on and on foolishly, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Keep your flesh out of prayer. Don't chant at God. Now again, this doesn't mean that you can't ask God for the same thing more than once. Just don't chant and get your body into it. Be not ye therefore like unto them, like the heathen, in other words. For your Father knoweth what things you need, what you have need of, before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means honored or holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. His kingdom is going to be right here on earth, if you're familiar with Revelation chapter 21. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the bread of life. Give us your word. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. The famine of the end time is not for bread or water. It's for hearing the word of God. And forgive us our debts or faults as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Forgiving does not necessarily mean forgetting. If someone is in an abusive relationship, for example, don't put yourself back in the same situation where you might be subject to more abuse. And you know, when we forgive, a lot of people, if you don't forgive, you go to bed at night and try and sleep. And that hate that's in your throat starts off as a watermelon seed. But it grows and it grows until it's the size of a watermelon. And it hurts you worse to hate than it does to forgive. But again, forgiving does not mean forgetting. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In closing, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Always we should pray in God's will. just after Peter, you've got John. We're going to pick it up with verse 5, chapter 5, I should say, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Do you believe that? Yeah, you do. We do. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's Father, loveth him also that is begotten of him, that's Jesus Christ. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. And you're not familiar, if you're, are you familiar with Jeremiah chapter 23? Burden of the Lord. Don't say the burden of the Lord, or it will become your burden. Don't say his commandments are burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's those who believe on Jesus Christ. Verse 1. What is the world? The world's death, if that's all you have. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith and our reliance on the salvation that is Jesus Christ. Not our own goodness. I'll tell you what, if we depended on our own goodness for salvation, I know I would be in a world of hurt. I think most of you would be as well. Christ paid an awesome price on the cross. Don't ever forget it. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, the only way? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, by water and blood. He was born of Mary, of woman. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. The Holy Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, our Father, or the Father, the Word, Logos in the Greek language. That's Jesus Christ, the Word, the written Word. And the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one, Jesus Christ. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You want to call God a liar? I wouldn't recommend it. Because he believeth not the record, the witness that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Only way to eternal life, through the Son. Belief on the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The reason we came here, verse 14, and this is the confidence or assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15 to conclude, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition, that's the thing prayed for, that we desired of him, the thing that we asked of him. That's answer to prayer. It's powerful. It increases your faith, beloved. And again, always remember, pray in his will. And if you ask for something and he doesn't give you, don't say there isn't a God. There is a God. You know it. But don't question him. Don't question his wisdom. Because if he doesn't give you something you're praying for, there's a reason. And you need to respect his wisdom, his knowledge, and go on about serving him. Let's go to his throne. Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather, to fellowship, Father, to worship you, to tell you that we love you, Father, and we do love you indeed. You've shown us so many things through your word, Father. We know that the world is in a mess right now. We know that you answer prayer, Father. We pray for the leaders of our nation. We pray for our great nation, Father. Be with us the rest of this day. Let everything we do be the honor and glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Where it states that Paul saying that I don't want you to be beguiled as Eve was. Beguiled in the Greek tongue, expateo, and it means wholly seduced. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Larry in Minnesota, one of my nieces is married to a pastor that teaches the traditions of men instead of the Word of God. How does the second epistle of John, verses 10 and 11, apply to this situation? I love my niece. She is a blood relative. Well, then, of course, the second epistle of John, verses 10 and 11, John's teaching there states that if anyone comes to you and doesn't have this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, in other words, don't invite them into your house. Don't wish them Godspeed. And that means it's a figure of speech, actually, that means to support them. Wishing them Godspeed is a simple salutation, like, have a nice day. In other words, don't even say have a nice day to them, much less tithe to them or support them. Now, having said that, your niece will always be your niece. As you said, she is a blood relative. She always will be a blood relative. And, you know, if you can't be in her presence with her husband, with her, and discuss religion, then don't discuss religion. Talk about politics or something else. But that's how you handle that situation. Louise in Missouri, I listen to you a lot and have learned a lot. I like your teaching. I know the old devil comes first. I didn't know that before, so thanks a lot for teaching me. You sure don't hear this in church. I wish everyone knew this, but they won't listen. Was the fig tree set out by someone, or was it when Israel became a state? Did it happen then? I want to learn that. Well, Israel became a state again, a nation again, in 1948, and that is the year that the fig tree was set. and that is likely the year 48. It could possibly have been 1967. There was another event that happened in 67 that you might consider that. But if you don't understand the parable of the fig tree, you need to. And there's on page 3 of every monthly newsletter, you'll find a list of suggested studies for new students. And we encourage those who are new to our ministry and the Word of God, for that matter, to study those suggested tapes. There's one on there called Parable of the Fig Tree. Very critical. Jesus said in the New Testament that you learn the parable of the fig tree. He didn't say maybe you should. He said learn it. Elizabeth in Georgia, where is it where the Antichrist will come first? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 gets it said. Paul said, I want to talk to you about the return of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say it's not going to happen until the first there's a great falling away. That means an apostasy. The apostasy is on. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Revelation chapter 13, the second beast that comes there is the Antichrist. Where does it say a woman can't wear men's clothing? Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 states that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and a man shall not put on a woman's garment. It's a figure of speech. It means that a woman should not take a man's place in sexual intercourse, or vice versa. In other words, it's saying, we studied today, homosexuality is an abomination to God. That's what Deuteronomy 22:5 says. Not talking about literally wearing clothes, and because you hear people say today that a woman shouldn't wear pants because of that scripture. Well, you see, in the days of Deuteronomy, men didn't wear pants. They wore skirts. Douglas in California. Why do you use the terms Lord, God, and Jesus, but at the end of your program, you will pray us out and use the sacred name? Isn't using the other terms in place of his sacred name a violation of the second and third commandment? And given what it says in Acts 2:38, there is only one name in which we can be saved. He was given the name Yeshua, and isn't it so that we don't translate names but transliterate? And then you go on to say, I do tune into your program at 5:30. You have enriched my studies. May our master increase and bless you in your ministry. Well, thank you for that. If you have a companion Bible, Doug, make a note of Appendix 4. And you'll find there that God has many names that he calls himself. So we're not limited to one thing that we should call God. And I'll just leave it at that. Well, you said violation of the second and third commandment. The second commandment is you'll have no graven image before you. So I don't know how you're tying that to not using the sacred name. The third commandment is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, which means denying God or saying God is nothing, or making an oath in his name and then not following through with what you said the oath was. Elizabeth in Colorado. In Genesis 36, why is Esau's children called Duke? Why does it have Duke before their name? Well, Duke in the Hebrew is a title. The Hebrew word is aluf, and it means chieftain. It's also been translated captain or governor. Deanna in South Carolina. How do we know when the Antichrist comes? I know that it is at the sixth trump, but how will I know that it is him? Now, Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 states that he will have supernatural powers. He's going to be able to snap his fingers and make lightning come down from heaven. You better be spiritually and mentally prepared for that. A good rule of thumb to go by is that if someone is standing in front of you claiming to be Jesus Christ and you pinch yourself and you're still in the flesh, it's not Jesus Christ, because when he returns at the seventh trump, in the twinkling of an eye, we all go into our spiritual bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, and the following verses. Cynthia in Nebraska, I have heard you say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, and let those bricks fall where they may." What do you mean when you say these? Well, to come, Lord Jesus, come means that I'm anxious for the Lord to return at the second advent. And I think he's the only one who can straighten this mess out. And we don't say, well, let the bricks fall where they may. We say, let the chips fall where they may. And what that means is that I'm going to tell the truth regardless of the consequences. That's what let the chips fall where they may. I'm not going to pull any punches about what God's word says, regardless of the consequences. Out of time, I love you all a great deal. Why? Because you enjoy studying the letter that God wrote to you, the Bible. You know, when he looks down and he sees you studying that letter, it makes his day. Good things are going to happen. Blessings always follow when you please the Lord. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you and to reach out to others who are lost in this world of darkness. One thing most important, though, and it's this: you stay in his word every day. You know, every day in our Father's word is a good day, even when there's trouble in life. You know why? It's because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Dennis Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast CD, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a CD catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at the same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.